I really feel God wants you to lay those things down, because when your hands are empty of the rubbish that you should not be carrying, they are then free to pick up what God has called you to do. And so this morning when Jenny is sharing, I really want you to keep your hearts open. She is an amazing woman of God. I have seen her grow from a little girl into a young woman, and it's been an absolute privilege to see that. And I want to just honor Lynn as a mum for the job you have done in this young woman, and I cannot wait to see what God's going to do this morning. So please keep your hearts open, keep your hearts soft. If you feel something inside, maybe God's trying to just get your attention, so be open to that. And I'll pass you back to Jenny. Do that now.
If you want paper, this is the only paper I have extra if you don't have any, if you want to write stuff down at all. So, yeah, you can handle that one. Okay. The Dutch girls, do I talk too fast? Because I can do it slower if you want. You're okay. You can just tell me to slow down if it's too fast. Okay, so a little bit about me related to this preach. I have a bag of goodies behind me. The main theme of this preach is gifts, because I love presents, and I thought even if my preach is really boring, going away with a gift will probably make it worthwhile. So we have some presents, and I'll need some volunteers to open presents at points. So you want to be a volunteer, Lauren? I love presents, but I mainly love giving presents. I love, I'm really not good at going into shops. If I see something that someone's going to like, I actually don't usually leave without buying it. And I just love being able to bless people. I think that's it's one of the ways that I enjoy blessing people and showing my love for them and just being able to cheer them up. And so today we're going to look at a few gifts that I'm going to use to illustrate some points and also just share some personal stories. So, does anyone else like getting gifts? Other than my mom. I know you've had enough this week. Does anyone like giving gifts? Okay, well, more like giving gifts. Okay, so... which one am I going for first? Who would like to give a gift? It's Mika? That was less enthusiasm there. You can catch the front. Okay. This present, sorry, the microphone's getting annoying. I'm not too sure if you've ever, you can hold it, if you've ever received a present like this. If I wrapped the present, it probably would look like that. I'm not very good at wrapping. But what sort of gift would you expect in that wrapping? A toothbrush. Okay. Perfume. Everyone's good at guessing the. So, but would you say that it would definitely be perfume with the actual wrapping that's on the outside, or is just that you're just guessing what's inside? Yeah. The main thing of this is that we haven't wrapped it with expensive wrapping paper or anything like that, but the gift on the inside may be more precious than it actually is, than the wrapping paper actually represents. So, who would you like to give your present to? I think everyone liked receiving presents. So.
Oh, okay.
Just a random. There we go. Perfume. Just a random. So in a similar way to that, often we devalue the beauty that we have inside of us. We may... have perfume, something that's valuable and precious and adds fragrance and something that my mum won't leave the house without. But often we have beautiful gifts inside of us, but we don't value them, we don't treasure them, we don't actually realize, and we almost see them as like something wrapped in as a brown paper bag or a newspaper, not something that is worth using or blessing other people with. And today I wanted to remind you of how beautiful the gift is that God has placed inside of you. And that before you were born, God had a plan for your life. And he has placed everything that you need for your life inside of you. That he created you with a purpose and a plan, and that you're not an accident. And it is not by chance that you are who you are. So we're going to read a few scriptures, which are quite familiar. They should come up on the... There we go. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, formed in the womb I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And it's quite amazing how God speaks, because Paul, who came up yesterday with the Scottish accent, he talked about being set apart. And the word consecrated there means basically being set apart. And I was amazed. I was like, okay, God really wants to talk about that to the girls as well tomorrow. And that you are created and you're set apart for something special. And God created Jeremiah, the young guy that he was talking to here, to be set apart as a prophet to speak to the nation of Israel. But we might not all be called to be prophets. You might be called to be a teacher. You might be called to be a politician. You might be called to be a mom. You might be called to... There's so many different things that you'd be called to. But God has specifically set you apart for something special. And only you can do that. There's no one else that can fulfill that role. So I encourage you to seek him and ask him, what special role do you have for me? What things have you set me apart to do? And what special plans do you have for my life? And the other scripture is Psalm 139, which is, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." Now, I've been a Christian for quite a little while, and the scripture is very familiar to me. And it's so familiar that sometimes we lose the wonder of what it's actually saying. And so I wanted today to just kind of take it apart a little bit more and remind us how amazing this actually is, that God, the creator of everything, saw us in our mother's womb. He saw us before anything. And he created us and formed us, and that David, who wrote the psalm, says that he'll praise God for he's fearfully and wonderfully made. And how many of us can say that on a day-to-day basis, that God, we want to praise you because we are wonderfully made, we're beautifully made? How many of us actually appreciate that we are beautiful and not say, oh, I wish I had straight hair, or I wish I was really tall like the Dutch people, or... whatever the case may be, how many of us can, you know, you have now, that's great, I don't feel short anymore. It's just like, do we actually appreciate that God created us the way that we are, and we are beautifully made? Do we appreciate that he took the time, and that the way that we are is not just an accident, but actually he made us like that? And it says that we were made in secret, intricately woven, that he knows every hair upon my head, which is many, and everything about us is formed by him, and he wrote every single one of our days, that what you do each day is not an accident. He's actually written a plan for your life and a purpose for your life. And he thinks about you all the time and says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God." God thinks about each and every single one of you, and he has beautiful thoughts for you. He loves you, and he rejoices over you, and he has so many that you can't actually count them all. So it's just to remind you that you are beautiful, and you have a gift inside of you that is more precious than you could ever imagine, and not to devalue that or put it down. And one of the main reasons, especially for me, we don't truly value the gift that God has given us, is because we often compare ourselves to other people. We compare ourselves to culture, what culture says that a woman should be like. We compare ourselves to the media. We compare ourselves to our friends. Maybe in different circumstances you feel like you are the most beautiful, but in other circumstances you feel like you're least. And we actually rob ourselves of who we truly are when we do that, because we can never find who we truly are or be who we truly are, because we're constantly trying to match up to other people around us. And so, yeah, God created us with a special chemical makeup. Like, he made us perfect for what we have in our life. He made us with everything that we need for the plan that he has for our life. So it's not for us to compare ourselves to other people or devalue the gift that God has given us, because we are set apart, as Paul was saying yesterday, for a specific thing. And we're not supposed to fit in. We can actually stand out as ourselves. Lorna, if the clip is going to work. This clip is from The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. It's PC. It's from The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and it's Lucy, who is the youngest of the four children, and she really wants to be like her older sister, Susan, because she thinks that she's beautiful. And it's just to really remind you of your value. That's what Aslan reminded her, and reminded her of her value, and that what life would be like if you weren't actually here. Is the sound working? It's all gone. That's okay. It's okay. The guys had to rewire everything, so it doesn't really matter. Has everyone seen The Voyage of the Dawn Treader? Has anyone not seen it? Oh, there's a few. Okay, so it's basically Lucy has an older sister who she wants to be like, and she finds a spell book. And there's a spell in this book that means that you can become like anyone that you want to be. So she takes the spell out of the book, and she has a dream that she says the spell, and she says, I want to become like Susan, my sister. And then Aslan, the big lion, who actually represents Jesus or God, comes and shows her what life would be like if she hadn't actually been there. And it shows her that they would never have gone to Narnia, and, she wouldn't have been it would just be her by herself with her brothers, and be Susan by herself with her brothers, but Lucy wouldn't be there. And how much of their life wouldn't have happened without Lucy there. And he says that Aslan says to her, you doubt your own value, do not run from who you are. And I think it would be good if you could actually see the clip so we can maybe try to play it at some point. But I really felt like God wanted to say today, do not doubt your own value. Do not doubt how much you add, not just to people close around you, but to everyone that you come in contact with. You will add something to their life that no one else will add. So don't doubt your own value or run from who you are or try to compare yourself to other people, but be who you actually are and ask God how he sees you and what your value is. It's okay. She moved seats. Yeah, and I just feel like God wants to say today to some of you, my precious daughter, I rejoiced the day you were born. You are very special to me. I rejoiced over you with shouts of joy. I went to extravagant lengths to make you the way you are. When I formed you in your mother's wombs, it took 113 billion miles of DNA strands to describe all your unique characteristics. You are unique in every single way, not just in physical qualities, but in all the special personality traits I gave you. I have formed you and shaped you for a special purpose. I am the potter, and you are the clay. And the second gift that we have today, who would like to get this present? This is a gift that Lorna enjoyed over wrapping. So, has anyone ever received a gift like this before? Yes. Yes. What's your first reaction to that present?
I like the way it was.
Sometimes, at last Christmas, I bought a voucher for my uncle because I didn't know what to buy him, and it was Secret Santa. And my aunt decided it would be the funniest thing to put it in a humongous box and wrap it really nicely so that he didn't guess what it was. But he guessed within seconds of lifting it up. So sometimes people overwrap like this to disguise what actually is inside the gift. Sometimes people do it just because they just get carried away with the ribbons, like Lauren did. Or sometimes people just love wrapping. But whatever the reason is for you overwrapping, the outside or the wrapping is not the true representation of what is actually on the inside. And you're welcome to open it if you like.
You can also get
it. Yeah. Oh, Lorna, you really did it tight. You can keep it on your shoulder. And so this outside, the wrapping that's overwrapped, can be extravagant when the present might actually be quite small or not actually that valuable. But, and this is sometimes like us. We have a beautiful gift inside of us, as I was saying, but we often wrap it up with layers and layers and layers around it, like a parcel bag, which I have behind me. These layers can be different layers for different people. They may be fears or hurts or misunderstandings or past experiences. And often we use these layers to protect ourselves. They're like a protective mechanism that we try to use to hide behind or just ensure that we never actually get hurt. So we actually hide the real us on the inside and no one ever sees our heart. Because we think that if we hide our heart and protect ourselves, we won't actually have a chance of getting hurt. But in doing that, we actually hurt ourselves more than if we risked anything. And at the start of creation, before sin entered the world, it wasn't like this. In Genesis 2, verse 25, it says, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. God created them so perfectly in his image," as Rick was saying last night. And they weren't ashamed of who they were. They didn't hide. They had a wonderful relationship with God. It says that he walked in the garden with them. They had a wonderful relationship together. And there was just a perfect communion there. However, sadly, this didn't continue. Because after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says in Genesis 3, 7 to 10, "The eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" So as soon as their eyes were opened, they sought to try and cover themselves up. They were ashamed of who they were, and they hid from God. And often when we put layers up, we affect not only our relationship with other people, but our relationship with God. We aren't truly honest with him, because sometimes we actually start to not trust him anymore and to try and protect our hearts from him, because we forget that he's trustworthy and that he loves us. For many reasons, whatever the case may be. And so this was the first time that the humans tried to cover up, but it's been happening ever since in terms of actually protecting and covering up our hearts. So now I'm just going to share more personally. I knew that when I was going to do this preach, that God was definitely going to get me to share a little bit of my own personal story and journey in the past few years and be vulnerable with you, which is good considering I'm talking about vulnerability. So I wanted to share the layers that God has shown me around my own heart in the past 2 or 3 years, that he's revealed to me layers that I didn't even know were there. But when I realized they were there, it explained a lot about how I react to things or how I cope in certain situations. So I'm going to use my own present, whatever that Lorna's wrapped for me. So inside this present is my gift, which is there, but it's completely surrounded by layers. And these are only 5 layers. I'm going to talk about 5 layers that God showed me, but I'm sure there are still more around. So that's just to say that this is probably not a true representation of my heart at the moment. But one of the first layers was the fear of man. And I would say probably for most teenagers that's quite a big thing, and I wouldn't say it's something that I've completely gotten rid of. God really spoke to me at a young age, in my teenage years, about 13-14, about my identity in him and who I really was, and that I didn't have to get other people's good opinions of me. I didn't have to please my friends at school, I didn't have to fit in with a crowd, and that he loved me, and the way he saw me was what actually mattered. It didn't matter what other people thought of me. And I gave my sister a card recently, or a few years ago maybe, that says, we were not created to fit in but stand out. We were not born to fit in but stand out. And I really want to actually tell every single one of you, especially the teenagers, if you stand out, it doesn't matter. In high school, for some reason, standing out was the worst possible thing that you can do. But actually, when you get into university and jobs, they want you to stand out to actually get a job. So you're consistently thrown from like one thing to another thing to throughout your life. And I just want to encourage you to spend time with God and find out who you are in Him. And then be that. Don't worry about fitting into the crowd now or standing out in the future, whatever the case may be, or changing who you are to fit into different cultures or get a job or get friends. Find out who you are, and you don't have to live with that fear of man. And so I am trying to live in front of an audience of only God and not to worry about what other people think about me, but actually just mainly what God thinks of me. I wouldn't say I do it perfectly, because now thinking about it, I think even this weekend I've had a little bit of a worry about what other people think about me, mainly because I had to organize a lot of this. So if something goes wrong, I always think it would be my fault. But yeah, God's consistently reminding me that it doesn't matter what other people think. His opinion is the only thing that matters. The next layer for me was the fear of disappointing other people. I like unwrapping, but this is going to make it more into the right tight one. There we go. And yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. This is still probably quite a big one for me. From when I was a little girl and probably still now, I've always liked to make people happy. It hasn't really helped with organization for this weekend, because the planning side of me completely opposes making people happy. So I'll start planning stuff and then I'll change it so that everyone's happy that it's in the plan. So I really don't like disappointing people. So I've always tried to achieve to the best of my ability, and which isn't a bad thing if the motivation wasn't as strongly as mine was. But to make people proud and to make people happy, and I probably overwork myself to make sure that everyone's happy, and means that I've actually been completely exhausted and burnt out. God has recently shown me that He delights in me so much, and He is proud of me, and nothing will change that. Whatever I do, it won't change that. And actually, He told me that his opinion should be enough. It doesn't matter what other people think. If someone is slightly disappointed by you doing something, his opinion should be enough. Obviously, if you did something on purpose to disappoint someone, that's a different thing. But for me, I was having to think about everything I was doing just in case it was going to disappoint someone. And it was stopping me from actually being free to be me. And God was saying that, I love you and I'm proud of you and I delight in you. And my opinion should be enough for you to be you and not worry about other people. Hey, Gareth. Okay. So yes, if you have a fear, or even just that feeling that you hate disappointing other people, or you feel like you have to do stuff to get people's approval, I want to really encourage you to ask God, how do you see me, or are you actually proud of me? Because I think a lot of people will struggle with that fact that God is a father and He is proud of you, because you may have had a father that wasn't proud of you, or maybe didn't even have a father in the house. So I just really want to encourage you today to just really ask God for those things. And the third layer, does anyone want to unwrap? You're going to get it. Oh, this is why I'm not in the guys section. There we go. The third layer was the fear of being hurt. God has really helped me to get rid of this layer by showing me that He is my security and that I can trust Him with everything. I can trust Him to protect me. And if you read some parts of the Bible, Song of Songs is not often mentioned in these sort of things, but you learn about God's, it's a representation of Jesus' love for his church, his bride, and each one of you. And you learn about how strong that love is that he has for you, and that he's completely in love with you. And when I realized how much he loves me, and that his love is stronger than death, and it's like a consuming fire, I was like, someone that loves me that much is not going to let me get hurt. He's not going to let me be trampled over. He's going to protect me and look after my heart, and I can actually trust him with my heart. It's probably still a daily decision to say, God, I trust that you with my heart, and I don't need to put these layers up to protect myself or try and prevent anyone getting close to me. But I trust you to look after my heart, and I will be myself and be vulnerable with people and bless people, and trust that you'll protect me from any hurt along the way. And he is our shepherd as well, so he will look after us when we do get hurt. He's our comforter. He comes and he looks after us, and he is the only one that knows what we're going through, and the only one that knows what's ahead. And he can bring us through. As Ali was saying last night, they are hard seasons sometimes, but God is on the other side, and he also goes through that season with you. So I wouldn't say I haven't been hurt since making this decision, but I would say that I don't regret being myself and showing my heart, and because I'd rather do that and receive some hurt and have God work me through it than actually never be myself and live as a completely different person with a mask on for my whole life and actually never feel any enjoyment at all. Because I think it's very easy to numb ourselves and actually never feel anything, which prevents us being hurt, but also prevents us ever feeling any joy at all. So that was the main thing I didn't want to say. He's taking away the fear of being hurt, but it doesn't mean that I don't actually get hurt still. but God wants us to be ourselves, and he says that he will look after us, whether we get hurt or we are fine along the way. And the last layer, wherever the present is, there we go, is the fear of the unknown, and or the fear, my mom's laughing at me, the fear of losing control. And this is probably still a big one in my life. I was going to say, yeah. From a young age, being quite a planner and an organizer, and I like to know what was happening. We had a busy household as young people, so like it got too much for me after a while. My mom used to tell me, Jenny, you don't have to organize other people's lives for them. I was probably about 6. And I had a fear of the unknown. If I didn't have a plan, I got a bit nervous. If I start revising too late for exams, I get a bit panicked. If I don't know the next step in my life, it's like probably like a catastrophe. It's not as bad anymore, but it used to be really bad. I always had to know what the next thing was going to be, maybe plan like a few years in advance. So I love, like, some people meet some people and they go, I have my whole life planned out, and they have different steps, and I probably was like that. And God has still teaching me that he holds my future in his hands, and that he wants me to live in the present, not consistently using all of the present time to plan the future. And he knows what is best for me, and that I can trust in him to lead me into those plans. And last year, God spoke to me through a picture. In case some of you don't know, God can speak through his Bible, his word, through other people. He can speak through creation. We also believe that he can speak through prophetic pictures. And some people have shared prophetic pictures over this weekend, and I'm sure more will be shared today and tomorrow. So this was just a picture that God gave me, an image that I saw, and it was me sitting down on the floor with a big row of yellow rubber ducks in a row. And they were all in one straight line and perfectly placed with perfect gaps between them. And I don't know if the Dutch people know the saying, you have all your ducks in a row. Yeah, do you have? Okay. Does everyone else know the saying, you have all your ducks in a row? It basically means that if someone is pretty organized and planned and has everything set out, they have all their ducks in, you say they have all their ducks in a row. And so I knew immediately when I saw this picture with rubber ducks in a row, I knew that that's what God was saying. Okay, all these ducks are in a row. And then I saw God come with a huge smile on his face, and with great delight, he just went, and the ducks just went flying in lots of different directions. And
I have got one rubber duck.
And then he took one rubber duck and he put it in front of me, and he said, "You can have this one duck. That's the next step, and then I will show you the other ones as we go along." And I couldn't be angry because he had such great delight and shacking them all over the place. But part of me was kind of like, "You just took all my plans and threw them everywhere." But yeah, it's quite a journey. But I think life is more fun when we choose to trust God and trust that He has a plan, and ask Him to walk us through each step, rather than trying to plan everything and seeing our plans falling through and falling through and falling through, and just taking it, or taking everything into our own hands and just living life, and then wondering whether God had something better for us. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." So some of you may be facing decisions. Actually, I'm sure everyone is facing decisions now. We have a wide spread of ages, so it may be what subjects to study for your A-levels. It may be whether you want to get a job. It may be whether you want to learn how to drive. It may be whether you're going to date a guy or another guy. It may be whether you're going to move country. It may be whatever. There's so many things. What university to go to, because I think we have some older ones. Or what you want to do with your life, because I think there's a lot of pressure at the age of 16 and 17. Everyone starts asking, so what do you want to study? What are your plans? What do you want to do? It's like, I think all the South African girls have been asked those questions many times over this trip. And yeah, you may, whatever you're facing, God knows what they are. And I want to encourage you to, that the scripture sometimes seems very hard to do, to not lean on what we know and what we understand and all the logic that we have, but to actually trust God. And whatever the decision you're facing, I encourage you to trust in God and not lead on your own understanding, and acknowledge Him. And I've seen from the little experience I have, I'm sure some of the other ladies at the front who have done more can say, but God has made my path straight, and He has led me. And I'm studying a course I absolutely love. I live in a beautiful city with a family, and I'm in a church that I know God has called me to. And I know I'm exactly where God wants me now. And so whatever decisions you might be facing, I trust you. I encourage you to trust God, and He will lead you in the right way. And the last layer, I think, if there's one more. The other? Yes.
Lorna, you really wrapped this time.
Thank you, there we go. Is the fear of making a mistake and hurting other people. This mainly related to guys more than girls. Making a mistake in terms of choosing the wrong guy to date and marry was a big, big thing for me. And the main reason it was a big fear for me was because I didn't want to start to get to know someone or start dating someone and then realize it's the wrong person, and then hurt them, hurt their family, hurt me, and hurt my family. And probably not the best views to have of it, but that's how I saw it. And God helped me to overcome that fear by reminding me that He knows me so intimately, and He's close to me, and that He'll never leave me or forsake me, and that He has a perfect plan for me. And when I went to South Africa in 2012, the Destiny team, that was probably the first time I'd actually properly spent any time with any guys, because we hardly have any guys my age in our church, and I didn't really have guys as friends when I was a little girl. I only have a sister, and at high school I didn't really socialize with any guys at all, so apart from chemistry and maths questions. So I hadn't really spent much time with guys, but for some reason, with the little experience I had built up a list of rules, like lots and lots of rules when it came to guys. Tamika is laughing at me because she knows this fact. I don't really know where they came from, I know why I had them. They were to protect me from ever getting close to any guy at all. And so if any guy fell within a certain age bracket around with any potential of any marriage, they were just treated completely differently to every other person I came into contact with. And so they never really got anywhere close to my heart. And God has really helped me to overcome that, because he said to me, Jenny, guys are also a part of the world that I want you to bless. And I put you on this earth to offer something different to every other person, as each one of you offers something different to every other person. And you are actually robbing them of what I want to give them through you, because you're not actually letting them ever see your heart. They just see like a covered up one that's just protecting herself. And I was like, yes, but what if I get it wrong along the way? And God really, he has helped me. He's also blessed me with good guy friends as well. He's helped me to actually be myself and slowly learn to unravel all those layers that I built up, and to get rid of the rules and to actually be myself and show my heart and let God protect me and God give me guidance along the way. And this also really happened in my relationship with God. I realized when I started to do that, I also got closer to him, because I had also started putting up layers in that relationship without even realizing that they were there. And God told me that he will make everything beautiful in its time, which is Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. And I can truly say that he has done that, and he has made things new, and he can do that in your life as well.